Here we go. You're ready for this. The Bell and Pollock Legal Show, the only show of its kind. I'm Gary Bell along with Brad Pollock. We're ready for you right here in the studio. The whole team is here. You can call us at 303-713-8255. That's 713-8255. And like every week, we're going to answer your questions on any legal subject. That's any legal subject. Even though we're injury attorneys, we're going to solve your problems and get you the answers that you need and deserve. 303-713-8255. Today at 10 o'clock and every Saturday from 10 to 11, our one-hour Champions of the People Injury Show. Champions of the People Injury Show. So we cover different injury subject in depth to try to give you the information you need to fight the insurance company that's going to try to beat and defeat your injury claim. And I think if we've been successful at all, we have taught people, and they've told us this, that this is not just an ordinary insurance situation once you're injured in a car accident. It is a war. It is a fight. You need strategies. You need strategies. You need a legal game plan. We preach that. We teach that. You know, we thought that was so important, we wrote a book entitled Legal Game Plan. You can get a copy at our website, championsofthepeople.com. We have 6 books there. But today's subject, when we're talking about today's Champions of the People Injury Show at 10 o'clock on 850 AM KOA, we're talking about things like if you have a pre-existing condition, how do you win? What do you do? What does it mean? You can listen to the show and find out. Also, we talk about mechanism of injury in our show today at 10 o'clock on 850 AM KOA. You know, Brad, we were talking about mechanism of injury when we did that show. We were talking about mechanism of injury. And it was incredible because we cut the show, came back to the office, and I had a letter from an insurance company. It was a UIM case, underinsured motors case. Then one of the first questions the adjuster asked was, "We don't understand the mechanism of injury." And so we explained that, but let's talk a little bit about it right now.
It's something they will do on a regular basis, and that's one of the things they're doing. We've gone back before this, and we've made comment on it before. If you think the adjusters are really just sleeping or not paying attention or off fishing or doing whatever you think they may be doing, that's not true. If you think the adjusters aren't trained, that's not true. If you think they don't understand what's going on, that's not true. And if you think for a minute that the adjusters don't have access to all sorts of information and ways to defeat your claim, that's not true. So, you know, start realizing that adjuster is a trained person, and you expect it. As a matter of fact, I'd be very disappointed in any insurance company that just hires somebody off the street and says, "Now go answer those phones and take information about a crash. Here's a form. Go fill in the blanks." They don't do that. Instead, adjusters are trained. They're told what to do. They're told how to do it. They're monitored. Their phone calls are listened into by their supervisors. Many times the supervisors know exactly what they're saying. They have access to accident reconstruction people. They have access to medical personnel. They have access to lawyers. They are trained people. And so what you have to understand is they know mechanism of injury is a very important aspect of a case. And what do they know about it? They know that if you have some injuries, it's got to fit within the crash and how the crash occurred and what happened in the dynamics of the crash.
We cover that today in our show at 10 o'clock on KOA 850 AM. It's a one-hour Champions of the People Injury Show every week. You can tune in. You're going to find out about pre-existing conditions today. You're going to find out about mechanism of injury. But I'm going to give you a little bit of flavor of this mechanism of injury. If you are rear-ended, what are the most common injuries people suffer from a rear-end accident? And it can be a low impact, low damage. It can be high impact, high damage. But what happens? What's the mechanism of injury? What is the physics of the transaction? What are the physics of the event, right? And so you need to know this. And I was just asked this by an insurance company this week. And so let's think about it. You're rear-ended. What happens? Your head, if you've ever seen these videos of crash test dummies, your head accelerates and decelerates backwards and frontward and backward at a rapid fashion. You can't even believe how many times it does that. So the neck area is usually injured. So what's going to be the injury? It could be a compressed disc, could be a disc injury, could be a nerve injury. So also, when you're rear-ended, mechanism of injury, right, today at 10 o'clock, when you're rear-ended, your car is hit, it goes forward, you're sitting still, right, principle of inertia, and boom, your seat runs into your low back. Lumbar injury, L3, L4, L5, S1, right? So that's just some of the subjects we covered on our show today at 10 o'clock. We also talk about, you know, how do you really, really, really recover from your injuries? A very fascinating subject. So you want to listen at 10 o'clock today. Right now we're going to talk to Brian from Larkspur. Good morning, Brian.
Good morning.
How you doing?
How are you, gentlemen, this day?
Good. How are you?
Okay.
Good.
Great. What can we do for you?
I got a simple question about a corporation that's fairly large. They're in Colorado, and they're not required. I want to serve them in small claims court,
right.
But they're not required to have a registered agent. And so there is no, because they're not registered with the Secretary of State. So the question I have is, how do I get them served?
Okay, so there are specific procedures under the small claims court rules, but right. So you've checked the Secretary of State website, yeah. Have you?
No, I actually communicated with the Secretary of State, and they confirmed that Chase Bank is not registered, nor do they have to be. They're exempt.
Okay, so there's no registered agent. There's no agent for service of process. That's what you were told, correct?
In Colorado, correct.
Right, in Colorado. Okay, yeah, so, I'm sorry.
And I did look at Rule 4.
Right.
That has to do with the Colorado Rules for Civil Procedure.
Correct.
And there's something in there about it, but it's so vague. I mean, it's a very poorly written rule, quite frankly.
Well, okay, so, wow, great question this morning. So Rule 4, we're talking about the Colorado Rules of Civil Procedure. That's the Bible for lawsuits, civil lawsuits, not criminal lawsuits. On the other side, there's the criminal rules of civil, criminal rules of procedure. But so, in small claims court, first of all, you can almost serve anybody. But in small claims court, I believe, and you can serve them by registered mail. I don't think you have to have a process server go out there and serve them in person.
Sure.
Okay.
But I need to serve a registered agent.
No,
you don't.
You don't, but, you know, Chase is a bank. The banking commissioner can be designated as a substitute service. You're aware of that, right?
No, I'm not.
Okay. No. You can serve the banking commissioner, too, for substitute service.
Oh, okay.
Are you trying to serve by registered mail, or how are you trying to serve?
No, actually, I went through the self-help places at some of the courthouses like El Paso County, even though I don't live in El Paso County, and they told me that I have to serve them where they're registered, like if they're registered in the state of Delaware, that I have to serve them there. And I said, well, why would they have to come back to Colorado to go to court? And they said, oh yeah, they do have to do that. And I don't think they have to.
Well, yeah.
And I also asked about serving them with publication, and the guy said I can't do that.
No,
not service by publication. No,
you're going to go through that. Now, where are you located?
I'm in Larkspur.
Larkspur.
I'm in Douglas County. Mm-hmm.
Okay, you know, why don't we? Here's what I think we can do for you. Why don't you give Ryan your name and phone number, and we'll call you after this week, and we'll just have our courier serve them for you.
Oh, okay.
That way you have an independent person. We'll do it for free. We'll go ahead and accomplish service for you, and we'll make sure we get service on them.
Okay.
And take care of it that way.
And, you know, the other thing, you raise an interesting question, Brian, because how do you serve them? Well, small claims courts, you can serve them by registered mail. Many times they attack it. If they don't show up, you get a judgment, and then they attack it and move to set it aside. Brad just gave you the gold service because when you serve them in person, they've got to do something with it, and there's a certain way to do that, and we'll be glad to help you. Would that be okay?
Sure.
So
sounds very good.
So you know, give Ryan your name and phone number, and we're happy to do it for you, and that will get you on your way, man. And then if you have any other questions about what you do in a small claims court, I've been there a few times. They don't allow lawyers, but I've been there a few times on personal matters, so I'm happy to help you out.
Okay.
All right.
Well, thank you very much. I appreciate it.
Well, thank you for the call. I'm going to put you on hold, give Ryan your information, and you're listening to the Bell and Pollock Legal Show, the only show of its kind. You know, we're here to serve you. We're here to answer your questions. We're here to give you legal advice, and we're here to give you the answers you need. 303-713-8255. That's 713-8255. Time to wake up. Get your legal coffee going. Today at 10 o'clock, our Champions of the People Injury Show on KOA 850 AM. We'll be right back. Here we go. Fasten your seatbelt. The Bell and Pollock Legal Show. Gary Bell, Brad Pollock, we're here for you. 303-713-8255. That's 713-8255. We can answer your questions. And today at 10 o'clock, every Saturday at 10 o'clock on 850 AM, KOA is our one-hour Champions of the People Injury Show. Do you know how to recover for injuries? Listen to our show. Do you know how to really recover money for it? Do you know how to fight off a pre-existing condition defense? They always say you have a pre-existing condition. What does it mean? How do you do it? Can you recover from emotional injuries? Can you recover? I mean, more than just PTSD, post-traumatic stress disorder. Does PTSD apply in car accident cases, truck accident cases? Listen to our show today at 10 o'clock. Join us live right now on our Law Talk show is J.D. from El Paso County. Good morning, J.D.
Good morning, gentlemen. I really appreciate you taking my phone call.
Sure.
And, you know, I love listening to the show. You're very knowledgeable in law. And I've kind of got a serious issue with my particular situation I've been dealing with for the last couple of years has been my wrongful incarceration in the state of Colorado. I was sent to prison as an innocent, as an individual, and I appealed it. And I did win my appeal unanimously. It was sent back down to El Paso County. It was dismissed by the judge due to, under the circumstance of the miscarriage of justice that happened to me. And when this happens, there's a bill that was signed by John Hickenlooper in 2013. And this is to be, once that's happened, you're to get a letter of exoneration that's to be sent to the DA's office and high offices of the state of attorney and the office of the governor. And so I sent out all files of this paperwork to, it was all sent out to all these offices. And I feel, that it's being suppressed. And one of the offices is the highest office in the state of Colorado, John Hickenlooper's office. I faxed several documents, I would say to the tune of 50 documents, showing the miscarriage of justice. And it seems that, it's being suppressed. And I was wondering, I just wanted to get your opinion. And, he's one of the individuals who's supposed to review the paperwork. And this has been in 2016 since I've faxed these papers up to them, all the documents, and it just seems that isn't somebody who's suppressing evidence just a part of the problem? If someone can't get justice.
All right. JD, let me ask you. So your question is, shouldn't somebody, or is your question to sure the governor? So what is your question, basically?
If they're knowing of a violation and they don't, according to the Bar Association's rules and regulations, if they are aware of a violation, or any, clerks, attorneys or anything are aware of any violation, aren't they supposed to report that to their superior?
Okay, violation of what, J.D.? Let's get down to the bottom of it.
Well, the miscarriages of justice.
Okay, so violation.
Any violations or miscarriages of justice, they are to report it to the higher superior, or they're part of the problem.
Okay, J.D., you're also talking about suppression. Do you want the conviction suppressed? What is your goal there? And then I'll see if we can help you here.
Well, the fact that, the prosecutors, they manufactured false documents against me. They did not give correct instructions to the jury. There's more than one.
Okay.
They didn't have a discovery ready the day of trial. They amended things the day of the trial, which they should have given the case at least 30 to 60 more days to remount a defense.
Okay, all right, so let's take this on. So you were convicted, you went to prison, it was reversed on appeal, went back down, and then the case was dismissed, right?
Correct, after I served a full sentence in
right.
parole.
Okay, and then there was, and then you allude to somewhat about the evidence and the prosecutors. I mean, so there is a whole body of law on prosecutorial misconduct, period. Yes, it can be unethical. Yes, it can result in a violation of civil rights. So that's the answer. The governor of any state, but of Colorado, doesn't necessarily enforce your civil rights. there is a civil rights violation. That's what you do. That's what you do in court. So that's the short answer there. We'll get back to more here in a minute. And the short answer is also on the suppression. You can file a motion. I assume it was a felony. You can file a motion to suppress the conviction. It's already been reversed in case dismissed, but you can file a motion. It doesn't just happen automatically, and you have to file a motion with the district court where the trial was held. That's answer number two.
Yeah. What did you serve time? First of all, how long were you in?
I was given 6 months and a year of parole. But the issue is that this bill, that particular bill for Wrongful Incarceration Act, it was signed by John Hickenlooper himself. And then it was struck down by the Supreme Court, Washington, D.C. Six justices out of seven struck it down. And then I recently found out that, you know, I tried to get a reading of this particular bill anywhere, the current version that's been, whether they amended it or revised it. I can't get any information from anyone about the particular bill. I told it was on hold, and they didn't particularly tell me why.
Okay, JD, just wait a minute. You kind of switched horses on this. You went to a bill that went up to the United States Supreme Court, so... You kind of switched.
Stick with me for a minute.
That's why I felt that, you know, if I tried to contact Hickenlooper's office specifically,
right?
He was one of the individuals who had signed it and reviewed it, and then since it's been struck down, it was struck down in 2017,
right?
And by the federal Supreme Court, Supreme Court in Washington D.C. because it was they found it to be violating the 14th Amendment.
Right, Nelson versus Colorado is what it was.
Nelson versus, exactly, sir. Nelson versus.
Yeah,
and
so
it was struck down, it doesn't seem to be a revised version or anything that was amended to that version of anywhere. And I called the legislation office in Colorado, and they said I tried to get some information from them. They said it is on hold, or there's an editor's note next to it. And I can't find a revised version of it, of why, what if they, you know, have they made the changes to it.
Okay, but Nelson dealt a lot with a refund and with the definition of property under Nelson. So
granted back your court costs and fees.
So, right.
And time served, et cetera.
Right. You know? So stick with me for a minute. Did you spend an entire 6 months in prison?
No, I did not, but...
How long were you in
prison? The whole entire time in parole. It was 3 months.
So you were in 3 months in prison, then were you a year on parole?
Yes, and then I lost my career.
Okay, why...
I've been on the streets for a year.
Well, we'll go over that, but why was the conviction overturned? Was it overturned for prosecutorial misconduct, for an error in the proceedings, or for lack of evidence?
Instructions to the jury, and then there's information found out later, unknown to the courts, that they had manufactured documents, or documents were manufactured with false charges on them, and they tried to make me plea bargain under which...
JD, hang on a second. Yes. So you had a conviction where the jury instructions were wrong, number one, I think you're saying, and then also prosecutorial misconduct, both, correct?
Correct.
Right. And is that the reason they did not recharge and try and convict you again and retry you?
Yes. El Paso County Honorable Judge, I won't mention his name, but he did the correct thing, and he dismissed it due to the interest of justice. And you know, they did grant. They granted me my court costs and fees back.
JD, what is your question for us? We'll be glad to answer your question or solve your problem. What is your question?
I just feel that if this was signed by John Hickenlooper, I have notified him of the circumstance, or his office, of the circumstances, mailed, in fact, all the documents up to them, and I have gotten... I've called the line.
JD, I know you've called. What was signed by Governor Hickenlooper? What? You said this
the
was signed.
The Wrongful Incarceration Act.
But that act
was signed by him.
I don't think that act went through. And so what was the remedy you asked for Hickenlooper to give you? What were you requesting?
I was requesting to be restored back to the way I was prior to this happening to me, which is what the bill states, and it would be states that it's the state's duty to do.
So you wanted financial compensation?
Exactly.
Okay.
And they came up with amounts that aren't very large, and I also wanted them to notify the jury of the outcome of the higher court's decision. They refused to notify the jury.
All right.
of the actual truth.
I want to see the letter you sent. Can we talk to you out there and get a copy of the letter you sent?
Sure, I'd be glad to pass that.
I'd like to see everything you sent, see what we can do for you, okay?
JD, I'm going to put you on hold. Right. If you give Ryan information, we'll contact you, and we'll at least start with the letter, okay?
Yeah, and let's see what we can do for you, okay?
I certainly appreciate it, gentlemen.
Right.
I appreciate your time.
We're going to give you some help.
Thank you for the call, JD.
Okay, thank you.
All right, sir. You listen to the Bell and Pollock Legal Show today, right at 10 o'clock, and every Saturday at 10 to, from 10 to 11. The one-hour Champions of the People Injury Show. Today we're talking about how and why can you really, really recover from your injuries, especially when they throw up in your face you had a pre-existing condition, especially when they start talking about whether there was no mechanism of injury, especially when they look at your films and start attacking those. How do you do this? You can listen to our show today at 10 o'clock, 10 to 11, on 850 KOA. Bell and Pollock will be right back. Kick you off, Creed and Clearwater Revival. Some people are born to wave the flag. You that were red, white, and blue. Here we go, the Bell and Pollock Legal Show. Gary Bell, Brad Pollock, we're here for you. You can call us right here in the studio, 303-713-8255. That's 713-8255. And what do you know about vaping? What do you know about the RICO Act? Do you know anything about the RICO Act, the Racketeering Act, and does it apply to marijuana? We got an incredible case in the state of Colorado and Southern Colorado dealing with the RICO Act and cultivating and growing legally according to state law a marijuana nearby a ranch in Southern Colorado. And we're going to try to get to that case to educate you on that as well. Right now, joining us live is Eric from Caitlin's. Good morning, Eric.
Good morning. How are you guys doing today?
Good. What's cooking over there?
I got some new specials. We'll start with that breakfast special. Now, that's going to be a chorizo omelet. It's a two-egg omelet. We're going to load that up with pork chorizo, fresh baby spinach, diced tomatoes, onions, a little bit of mixed cheese, and as always, you can get that choice of red or green chili right on top of that. That does come with a side of hash browns as well, and it also comes with your choice of toast, tortilla, or pancakes. I'm always telling guys about the pancakes, but they're all good choices to go right there. That's the breakfast special for the next 2 weeks, and our lunch special is going to be something we're going to try new. We're doing a steak and cheddar sandwich. We're going to grill up a steak, saute some bell peppers and some onions. We're going to put a really cheesy cheddar sauce on top of that on a hoagie roll. You can get our waffle cut fries or our homemade chips on the side with that. Just a little bit extra on the price with that. Well worth it. That's going to be the lunch special for the next couple of weeks. And guys, as always, we are going strong every Monday and every Friday from 11 to 2. We're doing that all-you-can-eat taco burrito buffet. Taco and burrito buffet every Monday and Friday from 11 to 2. It's all-you-can-eat. It's only $8.45 for the price, and that includes a non-alcoholic beverage in the price of that buffet, so that gets you completely set up if that's a quick lunch for you there. Come on down to Caitlin's and check us out. We've got tons of other things on the menu as well, all kinds of things to offer. The flat screens are on, the sports are on, ready to go. The crew's amped up and ready to run and get things taken care of for everybody, so come on down to Caitlin's and see us.
So if it's here I am, Eric.
I didn't hear you for a minute. I didn't know you were there today.
if it's like the kids coming in and they got pancakes and they want them to look like the balls on a tree and be decorated
absolutely,
like that.
Yeah, we do Christmas ornaments. We do Santa Claus. We can do snowman. We do a lot of Mickey Mouse. That's always a popular one, too. So, absolutely, we do things to entertain everybody that we can.
All right. I just want to make sure we can get our pancakes made up looking like all that
stuff.
We
are honing our creative skills in the pancake department. Absolutely.
Artistic, okay. Delicious pancakes. What
absolutely.
A concept.
Absolutely.
That's what I want.
Eric, where are you located?
Guys, we are 4379 East Mississippi Avenue. Now, that is one block east of Colorado Boulevard. That is in the Glendale Shopping Center, guys. Come and check us out. I promise you'll love it every bite of the way.
You got some construction over there. You're still open, right?
We do have a little bit of construction. We apologize. The parking is a little bit compromised, but it will be worth it in the end. It's going to look great when it's all done. So come on in, check it out. Bear with us. We're here for you. Come on down and check us out.
Okay, Eric, thanks.
Thanks,
Eric.
All right, the Bell and Pollock Legal Show, the only show of its kind. Today, our Champions of the People Injury Show at 10 o'clock every Saturday from 10 to 11 on 850 KOA. We've got a guest in the show. You know the show that follows ours, the Consumer Real Estate Show, Barry and Larry. With one of these gentlemen are with us today. And by the way, today, with the subject they're going to talk about when their show follows our show is, you know, investing in real estate. You might buy it for a rental. You might buy a fix and flip. You might do something like that. But investing in real estate versus other types of investments like the stock market, like options, like futures. So these gentlemen are going to cover. But we've got a legal question here, and so take it away.
Thank you, guys. I have a friend who is an elderly lady who was in a car accident. Now, she made a few mistakes, in my opinion, in handling this, like she didn't contact an attorney. But she's made a settlement with the insurance company, and the apartment that she rents in is a elderly housing apartment, and they charge rent based upon her income. And they're saying that the money she receives from the insurance settlement is added to her income, and they're increasing her rent.
Okay, so that how is it a government housing authority?
No, it is not government. It is private.
It's private.
Yes.
Okay, so if it's government, it's going to be a different subject. And so under the Internal Revenue Code, there's a whole section on how injury money is handled for taxable purposes, but we're talking about a little bit different flavor here. So if it's a private enterprise, then it's going, as I always say, we go to the enabling documents, legal talk, lawyer talk, enabling documents, i.e. the contract or documents she signed and agreed to when she moved in. And so those are going to be the controlling documents. What county is she in?
El Paso.
Okay, so setting the government argument aside, we're not there on this question, setting aside the law with regard to Internal Revenue Code and personal injury recovery settlements, setting those aside, we're going to have to look at the documents she signed because it's going to be a form of a contract. Brad?
Well, I agree with you, Gary. And Larry, for those of you who are listening, and this is Larry from the Larry and Barry Show, and Larry comes down from the Colorado Springs every single Saturday morning to do this show. So he travels a long way so to do his show. It's nice of you to come down and do that. And I agree. Under normal circumstances, I'd say there's a lot of situations where it's not income or it is income based on government regulations. If this is a private contract, we got to see the contract. Has she taken the money already?
I think she has, yes. Okay.
Because, a lot of times, this is an example of what the lawyer needs to do when they're helping somebody with that. If there's some kind of special or unique circumstances on taking money, you've got to figure out how you want to take it and when you want to take it and how it is. Now, and maybe she didn't express it to her lawyer who helped her in the settlement, so maybe that lawyer didn't know, or maybe they didn't realize it. But in this case, we'd be happy to look at her paperwork. And she probably has a lease, right?
I'm sure she does, yes.
And it's got to cover it, and we're going to have to fall back on the governing document. And hopefully there's room to properly structure the money to make sure that the money she received just doesn't go all to rent.
Right, but let's get our legal surgical knife out for a second and do some legal surgery on this question, but let's drill down a little bit further. Okay, let's talk about some very fascinating, interesting contract law. So we're going to have to look at the enabling document. That's lawyer talk. What was the document that created the situation, i.e. the contract or the lease or both? Okay, they're going to say you have to pay more rent because you got a settlement. Because this is income. So what does the language say? And, by the way, is there a formula in there? And is the formula specific enough to have a perfect meeting of the minds? What if they just say in the contract, well, by the way, ma'am, your contract says that we, at our discretion, can increase your rent to any amount we want just because you have increased income. Is that going to hold up as a matter of contract law? Is there going to be a meeting of the minds and consideration for that subject? Is it specific enough to be enforced? If not, one argument can be that you don't have to pay anything. So looking for, lawyers, we would be looking for a formula, a spelled-out definition, a step-by-step procedure, because they can't just say, well, you made more money or you got this or you got an inheritance, and so we're going to charge you X dollars. What's the basis? What's the genesis? What's the formula?
You know, Larry, I've never heard of this. They have private entities who are landlords who determine what your monthly rent is based on your monthly income?
That's correct.
Is that something new going on?
I don't know, but I can tell you I've been in this apartment complex. It's new, and it's beautiful.
I'll be darned.
And I know that the rents for that at least one person is paying is very low.
I'd really like to find out, because is it a monthly reporting, or, you know, do you have to, on your honor, report whenever you get extra income, or how do you determine?
So I say, we got to drill down to the contract documents. Let's get it on. Let's go, folks.
I'll get you the information, gentlemen, and I'll bring it in next week, and we can finish this conversation, maybe.
Well, that would be great, but it sounds...
I'll get it to you before next week, though.
Yeah, I would really like to find out about this, because, you know, private entities usually aren't willing to make those kind of concessions just on income. And, you know, it's very interesting that they're doing that, and how they're doing it in their leases would be something I'd love to see.
It would be, you know, and so, and the, because you got rid of all the government arguments about discrimination, et cetera, but it looks like the business model of this place is to have a place for elderly people and charge them less, it looks like, give them a very good, beautiful, as you say, and describe it, living quarters, but then we're going to charge more money when you make more money. So to me, it's a contract question, and what does the formula say?
Yeah, and we're also going to be wanting to look under the lawsuit to see if it's compensation for lost wages or if it's compensation for medical bills. Because if it's compensation for medical bills, then we've got subrogation that goes on, and now you've got to pay some of that money to the entities who paid the medical bills to begin with, or the hospitals or the doctors have carried the bill. So the fact that she's getting the money may not be true income. It may be a pass-through, or she's just having to hand that money off to somebody else.
Well, let's break it down a little bit better, okay? Let's break it down. If at least the contract documents, the enabling documents say, if your income, underscore that word income, increases or goes up, then we can charge you more rent. But what if the personal injury settlement is not income, as you just said?
Right. What if it's not
then compensation? Then it doesn't fit into
income.
The factor.
Yeah, if it's not compensation for income. It might be compensation for injuries, for pain and suffering, but if it, you know, medical bills, hey, we collect money for people on medical bills. A lot of times we're having to negotiate how much we're going to pay to the hospital, how much we're going to pay to Blue Cross, Blue Shield, how much we're going to pay to Kaiser, how much we're going to pay to people. So that money isn't really income, it's a pass-through.
Well, absolutely. And you need to look at the words. You know, I wasn't very good at physics, but I can figure out a square peg in a round hole.
What do you think, Larry?
I think that I'm going to get you some legal papers, and we'll continue this conversation.
Well, let's see if we can help her.
Bring in one of those square pegs.
All right,
I will.
Bring in a square peg and a horse. Bell and Pollock, we'll see you after the break. Good morning. Welcome back. What are you going to do when the rain sets in? What are you going to do? Creedence Clearwater Revival and Bell and Pollock. You're going to call us. I'll tell you what. Are you going to let these insurance companies just beat you up? Are you going to let them have the best strategy when you have no strategy, or a poor strategy, or you're wondering, or you're hoping or guessing? What are you going to do? Are you just going to put up with it? You're just going to let it happen? I tell you what you're going to do. First, you're going to go listen to our show every Saturday morning at 10 o'clock, the Champions of the People Injury Show. And let's just key in a little bit back on our last guest here about the elderly lady lived in this, let's call it apartment complex, very nice housing place, okay? She settled a personal injury case. She did not have a lawyer. This is a no-brainer, everybody. It's a no-brainer. You can call lawyers. You can call us. You can call the TV lawyers. You can call and get a free consultation. We'll give you one over the phone. I did it yesterday. About a handicapped parking pass. We help you. We help people. Now, Brad, just during the break, I think either Barry or Larry said that they thought that money paid to this lady was for her damage to her car, not personal injury money, not injury from a settlement, but damage to her car. What about that?
Yeah, this is a big area, especially when we start talking about these kind of leases now. She's got a lease, and I'm predicting, I can't guarantee, I'm predicting the lease talks about income being any source of revenue or money that comes into your possession from any place, any source from any party or whatever that you receive. And this is what I've been told is this lady did not use a lawyer. And so what happens is she receives this money from the insurance company to repair her car, and she's going to have to use the money to repair her car. Now, under the lease, if that's identified as income to affect her rent, because it's money that comes in from another source. It may be identified as income when it's really not, and just simply getting the advice of a lawyer could have. And I'm not saying she's lost, because we're going to work to help her. We're going to talk to her and see what we can do. But it could have been a situation where you tell the insurance company, no, don't send it to the client. We're going to have you give it to the repair company once the car gets repaired. And we're just going to have you pay it directly there. And that way it's not a source of income, or she has not taken receipt of the money. We just get it paid to the proper place. Now, hopefully we'll be able to talk to a landlord about what's fair, and understanding that she's really not gaining anything. It's not income. It's not a benefit to her. It's simply putting her back where she is. And so much about personal injury law is putting people back where they were. There's so many times when we're paying medical bills, and we're paying for the damage to vehicles, and we're trying to compensate people for their actual financial losses, that it's not considered income. And hopefully we'll be able to do that. That's why it's so important that you don't have to call from the scene of the accident. You don't have to call immediately. But it's so important you give us a call and talk about a legal game plan, so we can try and help you to make sure you structure what happens as a result of the crash to your best benefit.
You know, and I like the way you said it in our KOA Champions of the People Injury Show that airs today. We already cut that show. I like what you say. The adjuster on these cases, they're not asleep. They're not snoring. They're not off doing nothing. They are paying attention to your claim. You understand this. It's not that they're just ignoring it. They're paying attention to your claim. And what are they going to do? They're going to institute what? Their own rules and regulations and policies. What is that? That's a strategy. How do you combat that? With a strategy, a game plan. Go to our website, championsofthepeople.com. Get a copy of our book, right? Legal game plan. All of our books are there. But the one that you have to read is the new one. The first one that we ever wrote is called Don't Get Hurt in the Same Accident Twice. Once in the accident and again on the insurance claim. And again on the insurance claim, I repeat that. Don't get hurt twice, because the myth in this business is, well, there was insurance and I was rear-ended and it was not my fault. And surely, well, there's insurance. Surely I'm going to get paid. Surely that's what insurance is for. Right? Listen to our show right now, live from Colorado Springs. John, how are you?
Well, I'm not so well.
What's going on?
I've got a bad case of COPD, and for over a year, I have been trying to get therapy, and I was all in that VA community program. I don't know if you know about it, but if you can't get to the hospital up there in Denver, they would allow you to see somebody locally.
Right.
And it took months to get in, but I finally get in. I get to see the doctor. The doctor wants me to take therapy. I call the Choice Program for authorization, and they said, okay, it's all set. You just tell them they got a thing on their computers. They just check and make sure that you got what you say you do. Anyway, this therapist prevented me and still prevents me from getting any therapy, and I can barely breathe now. And it isn't that. I mean, it's all that, but I mean, you know, this is over a year, and it's killing me. And I just think I have to know who controls the hospitals so
John, are you there, buddy?
Yeah, I'm here, but who would I call on these hospitals that refuse to give you service?
But just 1 second. So you went to the VA, or you got the permission to go to a local doctor under the program. Yeah. I'm so sorry.
Therapist said it was all BS, right? And wouldn't approve it.
Okay, John is not with us anymore, live on the air. But John, we're still going to answer your question if you're listening. You can't get the therapy. There's a couple of choices for you. If you call our law firm, we'll be glad to help you because we don't know your number. But you can still always go to the emergency room. It sounds like you are really suffering. It sounds like you really need some medical help. And maybe the VA is a long way around the ranch, but the emergency room isn't.
And John, if you're listening, I want you to take down this phone number. It's 719-471-9992. That's the Colorado Springs Vet Center that should be able, as a veteran, they'll represent you. They're located over on Nevada Avenue in Colorado Springs, South Nevada Avenue. But take down that number, 719-471-9992. And what's going to have to happen, and also you can call our offices at 303-795-5900 this week, 303-795-5900, because what's going to happen, we're going to have to get you a representative, somebody who's going to represent you. The problem you run into, Gary, in a lot of these times is that a doctor doesn't approve of a particular program, so then it's no longer covered under the Veterans Administration.
Right, and we see that sometimes in car accident cases. We see it sometimes in med-based situations. We see it in health insurance situations. And so it's a war, right? You have to win the war. What direction are you going to go? You know, go to our website, championsofthepeople.com. We got a lot of information there. If you have a pharmaceutical device problem, a drug problem like opioids or the product Roundup or the birth control device called Esure, or the drug called Xarelto, which is a blood thinner and puts your blood thinning propensities on an accelerated basis, go to our website, championsofthepeople.com. The information is there. All of our shows are there. You can download any of our books for free. You can get a hard copy of our book if you call our law firm at 303-795-5900. Bell and Pollock, Champions of the People. We'll see you next week. We were smoking.